Hey, Abhika.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good.
I don't know what you signed up for.
Neither do I. I hope nothing very scary.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Women's Day special podcast. Today with us, we have two incredible women leaders from Incred Group joining Rano Verma, who is MD for our debt capital markets business, and Radhika, who heads group strategic marketing and communication, and she is head of program for Incred Wealth. Knowing two of them, this is gonna be an incredible conversation with both of them, as we are gonna talk about the challenges, the experience and insights, all aspects of your life.
Okay.
So, welcome Rano, welcome Radhika, and thank you so much for taking out time today. So, starting with Rano, you first. For the young girls out there who will be watching and listening to this podcast, could you please share with us more about your early life, and did you envision this future career back then? So we'd like to start with your journey first.
Okay, hi, thank you so much for having me here. So if I talk about my earlier days, I was this pampered younger child of my parents, and I was extremely passionate about studying. That does not mean that I had any huge ambitions, because the only thing that I wanted to do in my life was to get married and have children. However, my parents were very progressive for their generation. So they wanted that their daughters should be educated and should be earning before we got married. So I literally was left with no option, but I had to do an MBA post college at the end of my first year of MBA. So I loved advertising as a subject. So I had a fantastic job offer from this advertising company.
Oh, wow.
And I went back and told my parents about the same, and they put their foot down and insisted that I should pursue my majors in finance. So with a very heavy heart, I did the same. And at the end of second year, during the placement week, I applied for only one NBFC. And when I went for the group discussion and interview, during the interview, the MD of the company actually asked me, he said, Mrs. Bakshi, I was Bakshi then, and Miss Bakshi, tell me one thing, why were you so disinterested, you know, through the entire GD, and you spoke nothing? So I said, sir, may I please request you for one thing? He said, what is it? I said, please don't give me this job. Okay. Fortunately or unfortunately, I was the only one selected for that job.
Oh my God.
Okay. So for 2 months after that, I read a lot of share application forms and FD forms. And I kept my eyes open by having numerous cups of coffee throughout the day, because I thought it was really boring. And I kept thinking, where have I landed up? And I really don't want to work. In the third month, I think my boss realized that, you know, she'll run away. So let me just put her on rotation. So he said, why don't you go into the debt trading room? The minute I stepped in, I loved the vibe. I loved everything about debt trading, and I realized that was my calling. To this date, every day I feel the same excitement when I walk into my debt trading room. So, well, back then, did I actually think I would be doing this? Absolutely no.
Wow, and I think it's interesting that you said advertising. I should tap into you more for marketing now.
Absolutely, now I'm that always I know. Ready. It just may happen now.
That's amazing.
That's very incredible. Like, you know, you should listen to your calling, right?
Absolutely.
So coming to you, Radhika, tell us more about how it started and how you got here.
So I think unlike maybe what Rano shared, I have probably had the most non-linear career path to ending up where I am today. But I think it's exactly where I wanted to be. If somebody had asked me back then, you know, what do you want to do? Like, yes, marketing, like you mentioned, advertising. Marketing was something that I always wanted to, you know, be working in and dabbling in. But as it happened back in the year 2000, I think technology and IT sector was the place to be. And like most people that age, I wanted to go abroad. And so it seemed like the most logical choice. So the first 4.5 years of my career, I actually worked for an IT company, Tech Mahindra, which was called Mahindra British Telecom back then, and worked as a software engineer with no engineering degree, but a commerce graduate. It was fantastic from the perspective, I think, just your foundational skills in thinking in a structured manner, handling a team very early in your, career. I think those opportunities are amazing in the tech industry. So I think one tip for, anyone who's just starting out is definitely consider IT, as a stepping stone towards your professional journey. And of course, you get to backpack, and I got to work in the UK, and, all of that happening when you're so young is a lot more fun than later in life. And then I said, okay, so now I need to do my MBA, learn business, definitely specialize in marketing. And so I chose NUS Singapore, and I did my MBA there. And thereafter, again, I think, just like you said, I think just being open about never saying never to any opportunity, because I hated banks, right? And I mean, being somebody who's inclined towards marketing and creative thinking, I had nothing to do with finance. I didn't want anything to do with finance. My parents were bankers, right? So therefore, like, banking was the most uncool thing to be associated with. But as it happened, I still attended a career talk of this bank which had come on campus, and I discovered that they had a particular team that handled customer segments, and particularly in the affluent banking space. And I found that role so amazing, because it essentially meant you're looking at a customer segment end to end, and it's essentially marketing, right? Because you're looking at influencing the entire organization, various functions to do the right thing for the customer segment, develop the value propositions, work with the marketing team to, enhance the brand identity. So all of that, my basics in marketing and customer segment value delivery were laid down in a bank, right? So that's when my career moved into BFSI, and I worked with OCBC Bank. Thereafter, came back to India, worked with HDFC Bank in heading their preferred banking program. Then I took a sabbatical for 2 years when I had my baby. Luckily for me, I got Incred just before COVID happened, and I think rest is history. So after joining Incred, and Incred just asked me to take on marketing as an entire role. And imagine, so you come the full circle. But I think it's so important to just sometimes go with the flow, never say never, and be open and do everything to your 100%.
That's so true. You should be open to what you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So moving on, today's topic is on the evolution of women's superpower. The world has changed a lot, right? There is a lot of change the way we invest today. The economy is booming. The technology is changing. And many more things are happening in the market, right? So do you feel more empowered than the previous generation? Would you suggest some interesting tips for, the young girls out there in their 20s and those who are in 30s and 40s? So Rano, we'd like to know more about that.
So, I do feel women today are far more empowered because of the things you said. However, I also believe that this empowerment comes from the hard work of many, many women, for generations together. Mm. Be it the mother who encouraged her daughter to get educated and go out and work. Be it the teacher who pushed the girl child again to get educated and motivated her in every possible way. Be it the mentor. It could be a man or a woman who encouraged women to be out there in the open, find themselves, and perform to their best capacity. So I think this empowerment is that we feel today is the hard work of many, many, many people. If I talk about the younger generations, for women in 20s, I would say do not have a mental block. Just go out there and experience everything. And then maybe you will know what is your calling, and you naturally will pursue your calling. Also, it's very important at that age to find a mentor. This could be a person you look up to who's your idol, who will actually help you find the right path. So I feel finding a mentor is extremely important in the initial years. For the women in 30s, I think it is an extremely difficult time. You know, when you're managing family and work, especially as babies at this age can be much younger. So the best is to seek help. You know, don't refrain from asking help when you need it. And also, all the goodwill that you built in through your hard work in your 20s, you should try and encash in on all the opportunities that come your way. This is for women in 30s. For women in 40s, I think by this time, most of the women in their 40s would be pretty senior. Right. And this is the time to empower the younger generations. You know, mentor them, give them the wings to fly. And so I think women in 40s need to be more gracious. I would here like to speak about the women in 30s. So when I had my children, I actually took a sabbatical of 7 years. And then wherever I worked, and I was pretty lucky, I always asked for flexi timings of work. So I would work till 4 o'clock, because otherwise the guilt of being a working mom would have been too much. But because I worked till 4, from 9 to 4, I never had conversations with anybody on my desk, because all I was doing was working. I would get back home and again post 7 o'clock, try and see which were the trades for the next day. So it was far more work for me than the people sitting on the desk for those 8 hours. But I think negotiating flexi hours worked really well for me.
So those were quite interesting, especially, you know, having a mentor and, you know, asking for help at the age of 30s, right? I especially take that learning message from this. Okay, so moving to Radhika, to you. You have any suggestion? You want to add any thoughts?
Yeah, I think what Rano said specifically for the, you know, age groups. But I think one thing which would, I think, apply no matter what age you are is definitely, I would say, just be yourself, right? Don't let stereotypes define what is right, what is not. So even if you're a mom in your 30s, and you know, like when we took a sabbatical, there were so many different views from people that, oh, why are you doing it, to oh, that's a great decision. But I think in the end, it should just be about, are we truly happy doing what we want to do, right? And the decision has to be solely ours. So I think it's very important to understand what we really want, right? And dive deep and introspect on that always. Secondly, have your girl gang at hand, right?
Absolutely.
So you know, no matter what age, like for example, even today, I'm very close to my, you know, college friends, and we get together, we go on holidays. Very important to have that group of girls, women who stand by each other, let you act goofy, and you know, just let vent and, you know, let your hair down. And thirdly, I would definitely say your family, right? So I think for me, it's my mom and my sister who always stood behind me. Choose your partner wisely, most important, right? So all of these things go a long way in the long term.
Thank you so much, Radhika, for sharing those thoughts. So moving on to our next question, which all the listeners will be very eager to know. So what are the challenges while doing the multitasking, right? Which includes doing housework, managing kids, handling work, right? And, you know, fulfilling your personal needs also. So how do you prioritize this entire thing? Rano, we would like to know from you first.
Okay, so for me, it is delegate.
Absolutely.
Really. Every day I tell myself that today I'll be the best version of myself. Am I perfect? And do I manage to do that? No. But like all of us, I keep striving to do that, to find that right balance between work and family and my me time. So I'm always trying, and every day is a new day. But yes, I keep trying every single day. And I think in my initial years, you know, when the children were much younger, I felt a sense of guilt many a times when I was working. Right. However, by now, I have learned to compartmentalize. So when I'm at work, I work guilt-free 100%. When I'm at home, I'm 100% with my family. So I think this, in my case, has worked really well.
Okay, in terms of multitasking, I think it's really not easy, right? I mean, we might make it look easy, but I think it's also important to not beat oneself about it, right? Now, if I'm giving my 200% at work, I'm bound to fall back in my personal life. And I think, but that doesn't stop us from taking on more and more. We constantly take on more than I can chew on. So whether it is, you know, hosting house parties or cooking up an entire, you know, elaborate Bengali meal, or going out dancing and planning holidays. So the other day I planned a holiday for 12, and conveniently forgot to book the return tickets for my in-laws and my mom. And we obviously the whole deal that I thought I had got 4 months in advance was had gone for a toss, and we kind of laughed about it. But you know, you roll with the blows, and I think let's not be so hard on ourselves. It's not easy, but we make it look fun.
Absolutely. Just one curious question. How did you deal with that situation?
Which one? The tickets?
Yes.
Oh, we had to book it at an exorbitantly high price. We had no choice. Although I told my in-laws that, you know, this was my plan to get you to you know, spend more time.
Wow. That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah, but that's not what it was.
Moving to our next question, Radhika. Given your successful journey, do you still believe that there is still a long way to go to achieve the gender equality, and how do you deal with them?
Okay, I don't think there's like a long, long way to go. I think we've come really far from where we used to be. But do gender biases still exist? Is there stuff that still needs to be done? Definitely yes, right? And I would say it's thanks to maybe like 25% of the male population that we still have, you know, certain biases and that women have to constantly watch out for themselves and have to face constant, you know, these what do you call them, remarks or sarcasm in conversations. But otherwise, I think from a real perspective, there are definitely still a lot of lip service that is done by, you know, large organizations. So during Women's Day or during Mother's Day, you would see these large brands talk about, oh, we value mothers. But I think if you just check the ground reality, I think when I was a mother, for example, I think only a handful of companies might have a nursing room, right? I think even after 6 months, when a mom comes back to work, she definitely needs a private space. Right. You know, and it's sad. It's not just India, right? Even in Singapore, I remember moms having to sit on a toilet seat and express milk. I mean, can you imagine giving your baby something that's, you know, expressed in a toilet, right? So I think a long way for companies to recognize the pain that a woman has to go through. But I think India is definitely doing better in terms of giving 6.5 months of maternity, and, you know, things have progressed much more from where they used to be. But other issues like a gender pay gap, I think a lot of HR heads could evaluate that. If it's a reality, it needs to be fixed. And then the minor biases, I think, like, you know, cake katna hai, so they'll definitely call which girl in the room is going to cut the cake. I think these are, you know, subtle things, but they're very irritating. Right. And then I think stereotyping, right? Let's just cut out the stereotyping. I think we just have this overhang about gender, right? It doesn't really matter. I mean, gender is just a biological thing. Choices are independent of gender. So let's drop the stereotyping. A woman can choose to work if she wants. She can choose not to work if she wants. A man can choose to work if he wants or not work if he doesn't want. I think let's stop getting everyone so, you know, worked up and bogged down by gender stereotyped roles.
Radhika, your last statement was very powerful.
Yes.
And I think if a woman wants to work they should work. If she doesn't want to work, she can stay.
It's her choice.
Right? So, Rano, would you like to add over here?
So, I really agree with her. I feel as far as gender equality is concerned, like all other equalities, be it caste or ethnic, it's always a work in progress.
Yeah.
Well, we are at a far better place where we were a few years back where gender equality is concerned. But it takes generations to set right the wrong done, you know. So I think it's going to take time. But yes, if I look at my career, there've been a lot of times in my career when, and a lot of times in my career when they've said that, okay, you know, she's managed to get this deal or she's got this success because she's a woman. I completely feel very offensive about such statements because, you know, at the end of it, I work really hard. And I think any woman who faces it should just learn to ignore such things. And many women engage in such talk about women as well.
Mm.
And I think they should refrain from doing so. We are all in the same boat.
Yeah.
And there's nobody weak here. You've got to fend for yourself and stand up for yourself.
True, true.
See, there's one other example, and you guys can mix it up, but you know, I think period leaves, right? When this concept got, you know, spoken about, and I was like, why do girls nowadays, you know, talk about all this? When we were growing up, we never really, we went to work every day and we popped pills and we went to work.
But
I think I recognize that now, right? I think if these younger girls are also teaching us things about, you know, it's okay if we are biologically having, you know, challenged, it's okay to take a day off in the month and not make a big deal about it. So I think we're also learning new things from the newer generation, and that's refreshing.
So thank you so much, Rano. Thank you so much, Radhika, for sharing your thoughts over here. So moving to our next segment, which is going to be a very interesting one, is rapid fire. So Rano, I'm going to start with you first. So here's your first question. 3 traits for succeeding in your domain or your career.
Passion, persistence, and relationships.
Okay. So the next one, what is something others find difficult but you find it easy?
To be gracious. So every time I lose a trade to a counterpart, I never try and pull them down or badmouth them.
Interesting. So this is gonna be interesting. What food always brings you back to your childhood?
Cadbury's Nutties.
Wow.
So I think now Cadbury's can actually have me as their brand ambassador.
So next, what are you learning right now?
So I'm learning the trademark recipes of my mother and my mother-in-law.
Mm.
And I'm also recording them so I can preserve the legacy.
Oh, wow. Lovely.
One incident that has changed your life?
My battle with cancer, which actually has made me live each day to the fullest. I thank God for every breath that I take every single day, and also cherish my family and my friends far more than I think I ever did.
Oh, wow.
What makes Incred incredible for you?
Incred is a company where there is gender equality in the real sense of the word. So when I was given this desk to set up, they gave me full freedom, and they have forever had my back and encouraged me to be a better dealer, to be a better person. And I really think to have a promoter like Bhupi, who is so dynamic, so driven, fantastic with numbers and knows his subject so well, and above all is so ethical, I think makes Incred absolutely incredible for me.
Okay.
Fantastic.
So, thank you, Rano. Now moving on to you, Radhika.
Oh my God. I'm nervous.
So starting with the first question, 3 tips for succeeding again in your career and your domain.
Okay. I would say attention to detail in execution, but at the same time, knowing the big picture. And I think 3rd would definitely be, no matter which career, right, or which domain, don't defend your mistakes, right? Mistakes happen, learn from them and move on.
Great, great, great learning there. So how do you deal with bullying?
Oh, bullying. Oh, that we've seen that a lot. Yes. Right? I think I would say number one, confront the person very honestly, upfront. And if that doesn't work, report.
Okay, so now this is going to be very difficult for you. The next question. What is your favorite designation in the multiple roles you play?
Oh my God. Okay.
In your life. So is it the work designation? Is it daughter, being daughter, wife, mother or sister?
Okay. I think mother would come on top, right? Rano, what do you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mother followed by daughter, probably. Daughter and maybe the work designation somewhere there. And yeah, the last, but I think the last would be wife. Yeah. Poor husband.
Poor husband, actually. So I think major, most of the women will, you know.
Yeah.
What is the one incident or the weird thing that had happened during the Zoom meeting?
Oh my God. Okay. This is really funny. So I think this is early in the day, right? When just COVID happened and most people didn't know actually how to use Zoom. And we had a Zoom webinar happening and there was this uncle who logged in and he didn't realize that his camera is on and he was sitting in his house topless with the fan whirring. It's a hot afternoon day and he comes on full screen on camera. I'm like, how do I tell him, like, you know, this is live and you're on screen? But I think some sense prevailed and he went off. But I think, yeah, a lot of these kind of funny things have happened.
That's very weird, actually. Yeah, so next question. One incident that had changed your life.
I think losing my father when I was 21, it was like a sucker punch, right? Because we didn't really see it coming. And it's just a turning point when you lose someone in your you know, close family, because you start valuing each day so much more. You learn to live in the moment and you really realize how petty everything else is.
Absolutely.
Right? So I think just being happier, living fuller, telling the ones you love that you love them every day.
Okay, so the last question to you, Radhika. What makes incredible for you?
Incredible. I think, you know, I had till date worked only in very large organizations and, you know, which tend to be generally very traditional, legacy, ha madam, yes sir, no sir kind of place. And I definitely was looking forward that in my next company, culture is going to be very important to me.
Right.
A place which is open-minded, professional, right? With a very open door policy for everybody and definitely meritocratic. I think Incred, by God's grace, delivered on all of those, you know, aspects. And I think a lot of credit goes to Bhupinder Singh, who's our founder CEO, and also our HR head Kamlesh, for I think just inculcating a culture which is so driven,
right.
But at the same time makes you feel so comfortable, right? And I think to what Rano said, like, they've given us complete freedom to do things the way we want to do, right? So there's no micromanagement, there is no, you know, you have to follow these certain, you know, rigid processes or structures. We could come and create things the way we thought were right. And I think that is an amazing experience for me.
Thank you so much, Radhika. Thank you so much,
Thank you.